than normal. So if you are a guest among us in your first Sunday here, it is not traditional Cleveland Bible Church worship and a study and preaching from the Word of God, but we usually take one Sunday a year to try to share with you a little bit about where Cleveland Bible Church is, where we have come, what God has done in the year gone by, and what our plans are for the year ahead. We call it the State of the Church Sunday. But I would like to begin by reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, some words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He declared to the disciples, in particular, pinpointing his comments to Peter, these words, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it." For 2,000 years, Jesus has been fulfilling that particular promise. He is building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It began on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved as Peter preached and the apostles with him preached the message of the gospel. Later, we are told in Acts there were 5,000 saved and then multitudes of people saved. And then God persecuted the church, so the church moved out into Samaria. And then he called a man by the name of Paul to himself, a man who had persecuted the church, wondrously saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and the grace of God alone, and used him to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. And now for 2,000 years, that church has become global in its impact. And we are privileged to be part of that global impact of the Lord Jesus Christ as we spread the gospel locally and the message of the Word of God locally in our community, in this county, and through our missionary team throughout the world. Cleveland Bible Church is 37 years old and counting. Established in a small little Bible study in a living room, moving then to a store on Mill Street in 1980, then into another facility in 1981, to another facility still in 83, and to this facility in 2008. And we are grateful for the work that God has done. But we'd like to share with you what in more recent history has been taking place in the life of our church, where we have come in the past year, and where we are headed in the year ahead, and what God is doing among us. Some of the highlights from the past year: we average in attendance 479 per week. These are adults. We're not going to hit that mark today. Blessed are you who have come in the cold weather. Somebody said to me in the community area, everyone here must have Yankee blood in them. Native Texans would never show up this morning, but some of you I know are natives, and bless you. 22 baptisms, two more this morning for this beginning of the new year, 40 new members in the past year, and the number of members in our database, 484. Amazingly, over $2 million has been contributed to the work of this church in one single year. Over $1 million in the general fund, over $600,000 in the Next Generation Now for the children's facility, $83,000 for the benevolence ministry as we seek to help people who are struggling financially in their lives to meet their bills, and $78,000 to iServe Ministry, a ministry to the community we'll be talking more about. 296 giving units, an average monthly gift per unit, $649, an amazing amount of money contributed individually, family by family, to the life of this church. And we are so grateful to God ultimately, but also for you who have responded to God's call to faithfully support the work of this church. On behalf of the elder board and the staff, I just want to thank you so much for your obedience and your contribution in this way. We also have 166 children in attendance each week, which means we have between 600 and 700 total people under the roof every Sunday. 122 in Awanas, Marty Wrangler Bible Club, 170 kids in one local elementary school every single Tuesday afternoon, hearing the message of the Bible and the Word of God, many of them, the greater majority of them, coming from non-Christian homes. Our Pine Cove Faith Camp last summer had 153 kids. We hosted the Heart of Texas Awana Leadership Training this fall, and we had All About That Baby, a Christmas program that reached parents and friends of our kids, as well as our own church family in December. Youth, 35 to 40 high school kids, 60 to 65 junior high kids, and growing. If you are called to junior high ministry, we need you now. Right, guys? Keeping them from climbing all over the furniture on Wednesday nights. An enthusiastic group of kids, and I think there are more than 75 coming right now. It's a growing group. Small groups, 20 high school kids on Sunday evenings, 25 junior high kids as well. And we are grateful for what Matt and Kevin are doing with this ministry and their team of adult leaders coming alongside of them. I had 1,850 people sign up for the Thanksgiving feast. Over 600 were served. Young Life, called Wildlife, 90-plus students coming weekly to Wildlife, led by Brent and Crystal Sandifer from our own church family. Monthly feeding of 122 to 150 cars with 290 to 300 adults every month on that Thursday evening. If you want to be part of this ministry, to take the gospel and pray with people, it's a great opportunity. Our garden, we produce 7,500 pounds of produce, 8 teachers' luncheons, 2 team school assemblies, a redo of a house for a teacher who was in Christ, and they repurposed donated old bikes and gave them out to kids who have none. Men's ministry, 3 different groups, 1 meeting on Wednesday night here at the church, another on Saturday morning at the church, and 1 in a Hope on Church at a home doing Series 33. Momentum had 105 participants at the Cross J Ranch, and additionally, there were monthly breakfasts for and 4 different groups meeting to address addiction issues. Women's ministry, Women's Ladies Night Out was transitioned into Sisters in Spirit. That's called SIS. The Priscilla Shire simulcast with Greater Mount Zion was held in April. 170 ladies showed up for that. 115 women attended 5 Bible studies last spring, another 115 this fall. Mom Link, a ministry to young mothers, was launched this year with 21 young mothers meeting here at the church on a regular basis. In missions, we supported a team of missionaries. Their pictures are on the wall, who labor on 6 of the 7 continents. The only continent we do not have a missionary on is Australia. Our Missions Awareness Sunday took place in October, 3 successive Sundays where we were encouraged to bless Israel by taking the gospel to the Jew. Genesis 12:3, God gave a promise to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. In the New Testament, everywhere the gospel went, it went to the Jew first. And we believe that God has called us to become strategically involved in Jewish evangelism and ministry to the Jews. As a church, we believe that God will bless us if we bless the Jew. And we believe that God will bless you individually as you become involved as well in blessing the Jew. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get rich or financial blessing, but there will be blessing in your life as a result of blessing the Jew. And then Andrea Perkins became our Awana missionary, replacing the missionary that we had for a number of years. Reengage Marriage Ministry was launched after 4 months of training in 2016. More than 50 couples were led in the ministry by 8 leader couples over the past year, and that ministry continues this semester with an additional 25 to 30 couples. There were at least 8 community groups that met off campus throughout the year. Mark Welch assumed leadership of Open Group at the church. He regularly has some 25 couples attending at that group, and we are soon to spin off, hopefully, God willing, a couple of new community groups from that Open Group on Sunday nights. Discovery class, 61 people went through Discovery with 40 becoming members. 2 adult Bible fellowships continue to flourish during the second hour each Sunday, one led by Jason Tennyson, one by Kevin Bentley. There were 3 ladies' groups in the Journeys and 2 men's groups during the year. And the web ministry, there were 17,000 visits to our website, 20 to 30 who listened to live stream each week, and probably more today. With some empty seats here, but hopefully people are listening at home. and about 100 people engaged in our Facebook page. And by the way, we stream both the 9 o'clock and the 10:45 service live into homes each week now. Summary, Cleburne Bible Church is a healthy church with excellence in programming, many great volunteers who make the ministry go. It is the volunteers who make this ministry happen. We as staff come alongside of you to encourage, to teach, to lead. But you who volunteer, this church wouldn't be here without you. God has created unity among our people. There's transparency in those who lead. And there's impact in the lives of people and an ever-increasing good reputation in our community. We are a stable church, but, capital letters, we are not simply aiming at stability. That is not our goal as a church. God has called us to something more. So the question becomes, where to from here? We want to focus today primarily on what's ahead for the church, our 2018 vision. We come back to our mission. It is based on the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Ultimately, authority and power is vested in the Lord Jesus Christ. He reigns over every institution, over every organization, over every human being, over every principality and power, and demon and angel. He ultimately is an authority in the heavens. That authority has been vested in him, but with that authority, he has promised to be with us as we go forward into the world to fulfill the mission that he gave to the church before he left when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples." How do we make disciples? We begin with baptism. That's what this morning was all about. It is the first step in discipleship. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. But after we receive that gift and place faith alone in Christ alone as Savior and receive the gift of eternal life, we are to go forth baptizing people in their first step of discipleship and to teach them all things that he commanded. Not only to teach them what he commanded, but teach them to observe, to do what he commanded, even to the end of the age. That is our mission. It's to make disciples. We have stated it in this way, to reach people wherever they are in their spiritual journey and to nurture them into a maturing relationship with Christ. We fully recognize that there are many people in Johnson County that do not know Christ, and so we want to reach them. There are also people in our own church family who come on Sundays that don't know Christ. They've never received the gift of eternal life by placing faith in Christ alone as Savior. That's why the gospel is preached here week in and reached that week out, because we know people come who do not know the Savior, but they need to be convicted in their heart. But there are many others who have been reached with the gospel message, but they themselves are on the journey as well. In fact, all of us came to this church someplace on the journey. And we want to reach you as well and continue to nurture you in the faith into an ever-growing likeness in Jesus Christ. And so we want to reach Christians not only with the gospel, with the truth of God's word to continue to nurture them into a maturing relationship with Christ. All of us are still on that journey. If we weren't, we'd be home in heaven. God would be taking us home. Our mission is not numerical. We count people because people count, as they say. But our mission is not simply to have large crowds. You can draw a big crowd by having big events and big names come to those events. That's not our mission. I had a professor share with me one time early in ministry. He said, "Dave, when you preach, don't preach to the empty seats. Preach to the people who are there. Don't be concerned about the empty seats." We are not here to provide a collection of unintegrated ministries to help people through the stages of life, to build a hatch, match, and dispatch agency. Birth, weddings and funerals. And we're not here simply to meet a consumer-needed culture. We are here to make disciples. And so that mission involves two parts: reaching people with the gospel and then discipling them in the faith. We will consider these two elements in reverse order. But if you were to sum it up into one statement, our singular goal as a church is to simply transform lives. It's to have your life transformed. It's to have my life transformed. Everything that we are about is simply to change your life so that you are growing into the likeness of Christ, to make you a better Christian, more mature in the faith, which then results in better marriages, results in better parenting, results in a greater testimony in the world. But everything that we are about is to see a transformation of life. That's what it's all about. And so we want to share with you just a living example, or actually three examples, living stories of lives that have been touched and transformed by the message of the gospel and the Word of God.
My life was a little chaotic.
I felt like we were just really fractured in all areas.
We had just lost Steve's mom. It was a really kind of a difficult time in our life.
We found Cleveland Bible Church when my family moved down here. And it's been a huge part of our life ever since.
Before we came to Cleveland Bible, at least for me, I felt like I was very far from God.
Like it was just this kind of trickle-down effect of sort of this chaos.
I was a Christian, but church life wasn't really giving me any fulfillment.
We came here and immediately I knew that this was the place that we needed to come together.
I would say my life has grown in leaps and bounds through CBC, just with the love and the knowledge that our pastors give us on a weekly basis.
The messages from the pulpit here are absolutely biblically based. I feel like I'm being fed the Word, the true Word of God.
The thing I love most about this church is the focus on grace and the importance of it, and whether that's through a grace-based marriage or grace-based parenting.
I felt really encouraged. You know, I was able to do the women's Bible study and I learned a lot, and I went to the Journey, and that helped me really dig into some of the past stuff that I was bringing into my marriage and into, you know, my kids. And I felt like we all started to grow tremendously.
I feel like a lot of my growth since being part of CBC has come through being involved in small groups. And that's something that we've done since we began here, whether it was a new marriage class, and then we went on to, you know, some other classes that were with other families with young kids, and most recently getting involved in the Re-Engage ministry.
I've really learned a lot and what it means to share your story with people and really just love people. And I feel like that has better equipped me to be a disciple.
The church has allowed me to become a disciple and has prepared me, not so much as a theological and knowing, but really just being an example to people and letting my Christ like light shine.
Cleveland Bibles, they've challenged us, and so long we were just sitting in the pews doing nothing. It really got us out of the chair and really digging into deeper parts, you know, in my life.
So that's what we're about, taking lives that are broken. We're all broken in some way, every one of us. Healing, mending, equipping, mobilizing, encouraging, and little by little, seeing people transformed into the image of Christ, being discipled. All of us involved in the process, every one of us needing it. And so that means everyone, the staff, the elder board, every one of us must be involved in the process of being discipled. None of us have arrived. Paul declared in the midst of his greatest ministries that he had not arrived. He had left the things that were behind. He was ever reaching forward to become ever more like Jesus Christ. And as we are being discipled, we are also in the process of discipling others. There are some places where you get the impression that some people have it all together and they're going to disciple those that don't. None of us have it together. We're all beggars telling other beggars where to find the bread, how to grow, and challenging one another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so our model for discipleship, many of you have seen it before, is that we all fulfill the first of the great commandments, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which means we pursue Christ passionately. Paul said that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. That was his drive in life. We want that to be our drive as well. Following the Bible faithfully, we'll speak more about it in a few moments, but it's not simply knowing what the Bible says, but living out the truth of the Bible, teaching them to observe all that was commanded. Tully said it in the video. It's not just theological knowledge of facts that we want you all to know, but it's seeing those facts come to rest within our hearts and lives and bring change. And then proclaiming Christ boldly as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But the second commandment, like unto it, is this, that we are to love one another. And loving others comes by building strong families, first learning to love within your marriage. The greatest exposure you will have to your depravity as an individual is in your marriage. That's where you will really discover who you are, and you will see all the cracks in one another's lives. They'll be exposed. It's a place to grow in your Christian life. But also, loving others by loving your children, loving your parents, and learning what it means to honor them. Then loving one another within the body sacrificially, and finally learning to serve and to be a light in this community through our good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And one of the greatest testimonies that we have in the world is by the good works that we do out in the world, and we gain a hearing for the message of the gospel. And so the means for discipleship are really fourfold. God's word, Peter said, desire the pure milk of the word so you may grow by it. I have a bunch of grandkids, and they're all growing. Some of them are growing very, very tall and big. But to grow them tall and big, my kids complain about how much food, particularly the teenagers, eat. You have to feed people for them to grow. We get fed the Word of God. We also encourage you to feed upon the Word of God on your daily personal lives. God's people, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I am by nature an introvert. I could spend all day, every day, alone by myself, studying the Bible and reading good books, and I'd be quite happy. But I know that my growth depends on interaction with other believers because I learn from them, I am challenged by them, I see the example of their lives. God says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's so true in our day as well that some people do not gather with other Christians. And that's not just simply coming to church on Sunday morning and hearing a sermon and saying a few small talk words in the community area as you walk out the door, but it's becoming involved in relationships whereby you challenge one another, you encourage one another, you devote yourself to one another. It is in the context of those deeper relationships that you learn from and grow and sharpen one another. God's Spirit. Paul said it this way, being transformed as by the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3. You see, we are not changed by trying harder. We are changed by the Spirit of God working on the inside. and little bit by little bit transforming us from the inside out into the image of Jesus Christ. And then by prayer, Jude 20, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You pray God's word into effect in your life. The scriptures declare that if we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And so part, for me, of reading the word of God on a daily basis, or when I hear a message from the pulpit, or if I'm delivering the message, is that I pray the truth of God's word into my life. And I say, God, enable me by your grace to add to my faith virtue. God, enable me by your grace to increase in brotherly kindness. By your grace, may I become persevering in my faith. By your grace, may you make me pure in heart. You see, it's praying the word of God into effect in my life that transforms me into his image. Because if I'm going to change, it's not going to be what I do in my flesh. It's what God does in me. And the means he's provided for that is prayer. Therefore, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We have an intercessor in the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and he himself must dispense the measure of his spirit to us to transform us into the image of Christ, and that becomes the means for transformation into Christ-likeness. Our plan for discipleship is to continue to provide programming and discipling in all the ministries in the context of relationships to challenge and deepen people in specific areas of need. And so we provide marriage ministry. We will provide parenting ministries. We will provide ministries to men, ministries to women, in all the various ministries in the context of relationship to deepen people in their need. Number two, encourage community group participation by invitation to open group to the church at large and in Discovery Class and in spinning off new community groups. Our desire is to have people be part of a community group someplace, somewhere, a group of men, a group of women, or a group of couples getting together to transparently encourage and challenge one another. Open group meets every Sunday night at 6 p.m., Mark Welch tells me that we are ready to spin off a couple of groups. Gary here is going to take one of them, can't remember who else. Brad is going to take another one, spinning off a couple of community groups, continuing to build them, to grow them, to spin them off, and invite new people into the open group here at church. It's part of our vision. That means not only everyone being discipled and discipling others, but the second part of our mission is that we want to encourage everybody to be engaged in building relationships with unbelievers and skilled, trained in the skills necessary to reach them. Nearly 2 years ago, I began to be impressed that in terms of my leadership of the church, I hadn't given enough emphasis personally or to the ministry in reaching people with the message of the gospel. And so sometime in the past 9 or 10 months, at our staff level, I announced and shared with the staff, we're going to begin to share at staff meeting every week opportunities we've had for the message of the gospel. And so every Tuesday we say, okay, who's had an opportunity to share the gospel this week? And one after another, each week, we'll begin to share. And we begin to alert ourselves to God opening our eyes to opportunities to share the gospel on a regular basis. It's part of our passion and our mission as a staff, but also challenging the rest of the church at large to build relationships and train them in the message of the gospel. And so that becomes part of our mission and our vision for this coming year. 3 years ago, we launched a vision that looked like this. We determined at a leadership level that we wanted to be a church that had an internal focus and an external focus. An internal focus of what happened inside the walls, but an external focus of what happened outside of the walls in the community. And as these two arrows represent, we wanted everybody to be involved in some way inside the walls, and everybody involved in some way outside of the walls in ministry to the community and service in the community. Earlier this fall, I sat down and began to think about, have we fulfilled this particular mission? And as I began to draw on a piece of paper, or on my whiteboard in my office, as it was, I began to recognize this is really what our ministry has evolved to and what it looks like. On the inside of the church, we have a men's ministry, we have a women's ministry, we have a children's ministry, we have a youth ministry, we have a marriage ministry, we have a number of other ministries within the church on the inside of the church. Externally, we have three ministries comprised of three different teams. There's a prayer team who minister outside the walls. We own a RV prayer trailer that was purchased by the church. And they take that trailer to different events, and they pray for people at those events, the monthly feeds, for example. And there's a small team of people that are part of the prayer team. They minister outside the walls. We have a benevolence team that meets at the church, but they minister to people outside the walls as people come in every Monday morning who are in financial stress and needs, and they apply for financial assistance, and every one of those people has the gospel shared with them every single Monday morning. There are people who come through those doors and hear the gospel, but it's a small team of people. And then there's the I Serve team. It's a group of people under 12 in number, who meet monthly to make plans, and they do projects together, and that team is led by Don Hunt. And then we have Super Don, shaved head, bouncing around at different places in the community. He's on the picture there. Cutting down trees, helping people restore houses, going to the schools, and he becomes the official outreach person for Cleburne Bible Church. And that's what the churches look like. And by the way, these three teams have done a great job. They've reached people with the gospel. There have been many professions of faith. The iServe team actually got the Community Service Award, awarded by the Chamber of Commerce a week ago Thursday night. And that's a great testimony for the church. And so we have three small teams doing the work out there, and the rest of us doing the work in here, and that's become the picture of the church. Once a year, the inside of the church gets involved in the outside walls by doing the Thanksgiving feed. And most of you are bringing groceries and participating on that particular evening, and one time a year, one afternoon and evening a year, we all get involved in an external focus of outreach. But what we have come to see is the need for those three teams to continue to function on the outside, but for iServe team, along with Don Hunt, to come alongside of every ministry on the inside of the church and mobilize and equip and train every single ministry, not only to have an inside focus, but also an outside focus, so that the men's ministry is not only building men up in discipleship, but also equipping them and encouraging them and training them and helping them to reach outside of the walls, men in the Johnson County area who need to know the gospel. The same is true for women's ministry, the same true for children's ministry, the same true for youth ministry and every other ministry. So over the past couple of months, Don and the iServe team have come along every ministry leader, and they have begun to craft a plan to help to mobilize, equip, train, and help each one of these ministries to have an outreach in the community. About a year and a half ago, Beth, my wife, and I, along with a couple of other couples, went to Watermark Church in North Dallas. We were taking a look at their marriage ministry called Reengage. And Reengage begins each week, as it does here, with a large group meeting, a small season, short season of worship, and then a testimony, a marriage testimony of a couple involved in the ministry. We went to the opening session that night, and after the opening session, they invited all the newcomers to come to the front to explain more fully what Reengage was all about. The first thing they did was to ask, how many of you who are here are from Watermark Church? There were about 30 couples, right, Steve, that event. Out of those 30 couples, one couple raised their hand that they were from Watermark Church. Everyone else had come from the community of Dallas. They had heard about Re-Engage. They needed their marriages fixed, and so they came and were part of that ministry. They would be funneled into the ministry, and I began to see that that ministry was good not only for helping marriages within the church, but taking the gospel to people outside of the church. And that is our vision for the ministry. We are beginning to see a trickle of people from the outside come in our marriage ministry this spring. As the months proceed and go on, we want to see that continue to multiply. Part of the curriculum has the gospel built right into the ministry. In fact, we are beginning to engage on it in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Everybody there will hear and do a lesson built around the message of the gospel. That becomes the vision for every single ministry in the church, because God has called us not simply to teach the believers, but to reach the unbelievers as well and then disciple them. So with that in mind, our goals are I serve equipping everyone in the church who is willing in the skills of building relationships and leading people to Christ. And second, to come alongside of every ministry in planning, expediting, and mobilizing the church at large to reach people. That's our vision for the year to come. Now, what does it look like? What are the plans that have been made? And so what I want to do is very quickly move to the various ministries and share with you some of the plans that are on the drawing board for this coming year that have already been planned by ministry leaders along with the iServe team. Children's ministry will have a Science Week outreach. A man by the name of Josh Denhart, no relative, unless he cut off the last two letters, from Des Moines, Iowa, who was here a couple of years ago to do a science outreach to Marty Elementary. This spring, he's coming for an entire week in April. We're going to bus kids from every elementary school in Cleburne to the church that's already been arranged. He's going to do what is called the Great Chemistry Show here. And then those kids and their parents are going to be invited back on Saturday for an outreach on that Saturday. And we expect the church to be filled with people. In fact, the last time we did it just at Marty Elementary, and the church was covered with students and their parents who came for the church from Marty Elementary. We are going to mobilize as many of you as can be helpful in that. The whole staff will be involved in this ministry, helping the children's ministry to reach out into the community to all these kids with the gospel. It's going to be a great opportunity. You want to be part of it. There will also be a dinner one Wednesday for all Awana leaders and parents to build relationships with the 40 to 60% of Awana kids that do not attend. You noted on the earlier slide that 122 kids come to Awanas each week. 40 to 60% of them are not Cleburne Bible Church kids, almost half, or in the region of half. Now, some of those come from Christian homes, from churches that do not have Awanas. But a lot of those kids don't know Jesus as their Savior. Come from non-Christians' home, right, Jeremy? And a dinner is going to be planned to build relationships with those parents and their kids and hoping to reach them with the gospel and invite them to the life of Cleburne Bible Church. And then a quarterly training with a meal for Awana leaders in evangelism. You see, Awanas is not simply Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts with a craft time and a game time. It's a time for kids to hear the gospel and be deepened in their faith. And so iServe will come alongside of Awana leaders to challenge them and to make sure they understand how to take the gospel into the hearts and lives of these kids. We all need to be reminded. We all need to be re-equipped and retrained often, and that'll be the mission. In terms of youth, they're going to South Texas, to the area hit by the hurricane last summer. Matt Krause, Kevin Sale, Don Hunt and a team will lead the youth to South Texas for a mission trip over spring break. These trips have always been a time of great challenge for our kids, life-changing experience. Wildlife, led by Brent and Crystal Sandifer at Weed Elementary, our youth ministry is going to come alongside of them, already are, in helping initiate the Young Life Ministry ultimately at the high school. a discipleship series based on equipping students and leaders for evangelism, followed by serving projects and evangelism opportunities. And then finally, mobilizing our teenagers with local serving and evangelism through the third Thursday food bank feeding, having some of the kids, encouraging them to go to that. Those 120-some cars every week, or how many ever there were, to be able to watch how adults pray and share the gospel and be involved in that. Projects in what is called the Rooted Weekend. It's our discipleship weekend. Upcoming, what, guys, 2 weeks from this week? And discipleship, and there'll be projects, and then involved as well in God's Thanksgiving. Women's ministry. One Wednesday night series this spring, all the women will be who go to Wednesday night series are going to be equipped in evangelism during the Wednesday night activities. Priscilla Shire simulcast, I believe 170 women, Kathy told me last spring, as I mentioned, we're going to be doing that again in conjunction with Greater Mount Zion Baptist Church here in this worship center in April, and then a service project at the Women's Shelter and Victory House in Fort Worth. Plans for men's ministry. To equip men in a 4-week series in sharing the gospel through relationships in the community of work. Second, a church-wide Saturday service event serving people from the community. Probably it will be next fall. And then finally, Dean is going to evaluate the possibility of launching an addiction ministry to Cleveland Bible Church for men and women. We know that addiction is a major issue for people. It is not only alcohol and drug addiction anymore, but it's sexual addiction that has become an epidemic, not only in the country, but in the church. It's become an epidemic even among kids. As they take that cell phone and they have easy access to all sorts of sites on that cell phone, and they get addicted to them. Had a parent share with me just a week ago again how their son confessed to them his involvement in Snapchat and sending video pictures of himself to his girlfriend and her back. It's the kind of world that our kids live in. They become addicted to such things, and we want to launch as best we can an addiction ministry as God leads and enables. So we're going to be taking a look and evaluating bringing a ministry of that nature to Cleveland Bible Church. Marriage ministry, we will continue to offer, re-engage, and promote the ministry to the community at large, and possibly add starting points with open endpoints to allow time for deeper relationships and more lasting impact, possibly in the next year, starting not only in the fall and in January, but maybe adding another starting point in spring. Worship ministry, facilitating and coordinating with the school a fine arts program at our church, showcasing the band, the art, the choir, and the drama department. Building relationships with the participants. And Tom is going to present this year Behold the Lamb of God with our worship team. We've had it done professionally 2 different times. This year he is going to do it, planning to do it with our worship team. Our benevolence ministry will continue to meet on Mondays and help those in need. But Tom plans to implement a prayer time for the benevolence team the first Monday of each month. Prayer ministry, led by Gary Dempsey and Debbie. They want to grow their presence on the third Thursday of each month with the iServe food distribution. They will be there Thursday night. Join them. You will have an opportunity to pray with people and an opportunity to share the gospel. And it's in an environment that is natural to do so. Growing our presence in the community through neighborhood cleanup projects, the GoatNet Bike Race, and other events. They also intend to look for other opportunities to make prayer, personal prayer, a part of our community and church. And then if you want to become part of that team, they'd love to have you join them. iServe will take a monthly team of 6 to 8 people. The plans are to mission Arlington for exposure and discipleship. We'll again do God's Thanksgiving, continue the monthly food distribution, continue the bike ministry. This year, facilitate 12 teacher luncheons and 3 assemblies at the team school, increasing the number of opportunities for outreach there. What that means is that everyone, we want to encourage all to be involved in being discipled and discipling others. And everybody every one of us be challenged to engage in building relationships with unbelievers and trained in the skills needed to reach them. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to be enlisted in His service of transformation of lives by reaching people, being discipled, and discipling others. He said, "Go ye into all the world." The important question, will you answer His call? On the eve of His death, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." We all have spiritual battles to fight. We also have a faith to keep. But we have a race to run, a course to finish. Being healthy and stable as a church is not enough. We need to be running the race to win and build people in the Word of God and with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as our worship team comes to close us in worship, but join with me in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, I pray that You'd enable each one of us daily to personalize the Great Commission, to daily get on our knees and to ask You to open our eyes to opportunities for the gospel, to open our eyes for opportunities for ministry and service, to open our eyes to opportunities to love others and challenge them in the faith. By Your grace, Lord, we pray that You transform us into the image of Christ. By Your grace, may You enable this church, this body of believers, we, Lord, us together, to make an impact in Cleburne, Johnson County, and through our fine missionary team around the world. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.